It's always a privilege to work with a family in the context of baptism and have that family come forward. And it reminds us that this is what we're called to do, is raise our children in the faith. Happily, last week we were able to see some grade 12 students come forward and profess their faith. And what a wonderful privilege and delight that was for everyone. Whether it's a baptism of a child or the profession of faith of some older students, it's always a joyful moment in the life of the church, because our goal is always to make disciples of Christ. And these are significant milestones on the faith journey of these children and students, which we encourage. But I was thinking about the public profession of faith ceremony that we enjoyed last week. And I was thinking about something that Pastor Art said about how challenging it is today to follow Jesus in our world. Now, I'm pretty sure it's always been a challenge to follow Jesus at all times. Every era has its challenges. I think we are now currently in a very distracted era, filled with many temptations. Perhaps that's our great challenge today. But I think it's always been difficult to follow Jesus. And so I'm thinking about today, how can we keep following Jesus today? How can the students who profess their faith, how can they remain true to the Lord Jesus, whom they've pledged their allegiance to? And how can we all remain faithful to God, even as young as we think of Ian? How will we help Ian remain faithful to God the rest of his life? Let's explore how we can grow spiritually over a lifetime as we turn to our next gospel story, Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. So reading now from Luke 10, verses 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman called Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, we have just heard about Mary sitting at your feet, resting with you. And as we now hear the proclamation of your word, and we too desire to sit at your feet and rest a while, would you give us the rest of God today as we sit with you through the word? Would you encourage us and comfort us, but also challenge us exactly where we need to be challenged? Oh, we pray that you would. We pray that this day would be another day of learning and rest and spiritual growth. Lord, we want to follow you. Please show us how to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. So the story we just read, it comes to us as part of the Back to Jesus sermon series that we started quite some time ago. And so because it's been a long-term series that has taken a few months to complete, I wanted to just quickly recap where we have been on this journey. The goal of this sermon series was to help us turn our eyes back to Jesus, to learn about discipleship in a very basic but maybe perhaps new and creative way. And so in order to do that, we looked at a few different gospel stories. In the first story, Luke chapter 5, we were called to catch people for the kingdom of God. In the second story from Luke chapter 6, we were called to love our enemies. In the third story, Luke chapter 7, we were called to take God's word seriously. And in the fourth story, Luke chapter 8, we were called to proclaim the gospel generously. And now we come to the fifth and final gospel story, which shows us how to nurture our souls for a lifetime of ministry. And interestingly, and perhaps surprisingly, what we hear in and through this story is that God wants more of us, more, even more than our work. And I think this is a very countercultural claim, and it's probably one that we really need to hear, because I think most of us have grown up being told we are our work. That is, our primary value comes from what we do or accomplish, not from who we are as devoted followers of Christ. And as we think about that in our own lives, this very strong emphasis on work and finding our identity through it, I think Martha would understand. Martha was a very hard worker, as we can see from this story, and she knew her proper place. Her place as a woman who grew up in an ancient Jewish patriarchal world was in the kitchen, cooking for others, extending hospitality. And now, on one hand, she served very well. I mean, could you imagine cooking supper for our Lord? What a privilege that must have been. You can imagine the butterflies in her stomach as she was cooking and just wanting to make sure this meal was right. And yet, Jesus, even with that gift that she offers, Jesus questions her. He questions her mode of being, her attitude, and the attitude of her heart. He says, Martha is worried and upset about many things, when really only one thing is needed. So what is that one thing? Mary seems to have discovered it, that being with Jesus is the first and most important thing. And I think this is the surprising discovery in our story, the emphasis on being over doing. And again, I think this is probably something that we desperately need to hear. At least I need to hear it, and perhaps you do too. Interestingly, this story follows the parable of the Good Samaritan, where we see the Samaritan actively engaging in service, serving the Jew who desperately needed his help, extending mercy. The Samaritan worked hard, as it were, doing some very important work. And you could say the Samaritan is honored for that. And we are told to go and do likewise. And then, strategically, Luke, the gospel writer, inserts this nifty little story about rest right after the parable of the Good Samaritan. I love it when the gospel writer does this. He takes all of these stories and teachings of Jesus and shapes them accordingly to get his message across. Luke is big on action. If you read through the Gospel of Luke, you'll see Luke is a very active person. He believes in a very active faith. But in the middle of all the action, all the doing and all the service, Luke says he encourages us to stop. And through this story, he says something like this. Yes, doing things for God is important. We must live out our faith in practical ways. But don't forget, the most practical way to live out your faith is to be with the one who gives you faith. Being with Jesus is the most important thing. I read a story recently about a youth pastor and writer named Nathan Stuckey. Nathan Stuckey liked to help his youth engage in service. So one time he led his youth group to Harlan County, Kentucky for a serve project. This was a group of Mennonite students from Pretty Prairie, Kansas. They were mostly a bunch of farm kids, and so they knew how to work. And they also knew how to eat. And by the way, I'm part Mennonite. I've seen my Mennonite family eat, and it is a sight. It is a sight to behold. So after all this working and eating, the food budget for the SERV project was quickly gone, and the director had a decision to make. Was he going to skimp on the food, or was he going to blow the budget and go over budget and keep feeding this hard-working crew of teenagers? He decided on the latter, and he said this: "I don't care how much they eat. They're getting more work done than any other group I've ever seen." And Nathan goes on to say, "You know, actually, Mennonites are the hardest working people in the world. But when I read that, I thought, well, I'm not sure. I wonder if this guy's been to Neerlandia. I think maybe you are the hardest working people in the world." But these Mennonites certainly knew how to work hard. Then they were rewarded for their work with food and compliments. Work, reward, repeat. This was their story. Who am I? I'm a hardworking Mennonite farm kid from Kansas who knows how to get stuff done. Can you relate? Work hard, receive reward, repeat. We love this story, don't we? It empowers us. It defines us. You know, this story really struck me because it's my story. And maybe it's your story too. But, as Pastor Nathan writes, there's a problem with this story. It begins with us, it depends on our effort, and it leaves virtually no room for failure. In other words, it's a story devoid of grace. It's also a story devoid of rest. Rest actually cuts against the cycle of work, reward, repeat. Just think about this for a moment. If you've been living your life by the work, reward, repeat cycle, and if that's gone relatively well for you, then rest and grace may upset the apple cart. Grace messes with us, especially if we're hardworking types from anywhere who know how to get stuff done. Grace disorients us, but also grace provides us with an extraordinary promise. Before we existed, before we could do anything to earn it, we were loved. Imagine, says Pastor Nathan, we're God's beloved children, not because of what we've achieved or what we'll ever achieve, not because we've earned it, not because we've got enough work done or because our ducks are in a row, but because God graciously called us, formed us, and named us his children. Because of this, we may actually lay down our burdens. We may set aside our work and the lesser gods that tempt us to look to them as the source of our identity. We may lay down even our Sabbath rules and regulations, and we may behold the work of God from creation to Exodus to incarnation, to cross to resurrection, and we may dare to hope that the rest we now enter is but a foretaste of the eternal rest, when we'll all stand before God's throne and never again question that we are God's beloved children. Now, my hunch is that Martha could not quite understand that. And I suspect she thought the only way to really please her Lord was to work hard. But Mary seems to get it. She spent time with the Savior, and as a result, she feels a deep sense of love and security, something her hard work couldn't produce, a deep sense of peace and fulfillment that comes only when we sit at Jesus' feet. I recently heard N.T. Wright speak about this passage of Scripture from Luke chapter 10. It was in the context of a conversation on the woman in office debate. And at one point he refers to this story and talks about the historical context. He says, you know what really troubled Martha that day? It wasn't so much that she was doing all the work, which probably was a little bit annoying for her, wanting to make the perfect meal for Jesus. Rather, it was that Mary had taken the posture of a disciple. You see, in that ancient Jewish world, it was usually only the men who would sit at the feet of a rabbi and become one of his disciples or apprentices for life. And here was Mary taking the posture of a disciple, sitting at Jesus' feet, becoming one of his disciples. And this really troubled Martha. And so she said, "Jesus, tell Mary to get back to her proper place, not a disciple of Christ, but to serve in the kitchen." But as Jesus says, this is the better thing that will not be taken away from her. And now Jesus says these words to us who are listening to this ancient text today. Sitting at Jesus' feet, this is the better thing that will not be taken away from us. Discipleship, becoming a student or an apprentice of Christ, is for everyone who will lay down their lives and follow Jesus. But in order to take that position as of a disciple sitting at Jesus' feet, we have to set aside whatever it is we're looking to for hope and salvation, including our work, and rely on Jesus and his saving work on the cross for our salvation. Isn't that a beautiful thought? We don't have to earn our salvation, earn our keep anymore. Jesus has earned it for us through his own work. Now, does that mean we don't have to work for the Lord? Oh, not at all. He expects us to work hard for him. Jesus worked exceedingly hard to proclaim the kingdom of God had come. Repent and hear the good news. Jesus worked very hard, as did the New Testament apostles that we read about in Scripture. And yet Jesus also knew how to rest with his Father and sit at his Father's feet, as it were. He knew that his work is not what saved him, but his loving, living relationship with God the Father. And now we are reminded of the same. Oh, that we would come to the point in our lives that, yes, we continue to work hard for our Lord, but that we don't look to our work for our hope and salvation, our identity. That we look to Jesus and Jesus alone for our hope and salvation. And so out of gratitude for God's grace, out of gratitude for the work that Jesus has done for us on the cross, we can work hard for him. But even more, we can rest with him and sit at Jesus' feet. After all, this is the better thing, the one thing that is needed. May the Lord help us to get there today. Brothers and sisters in Christ, let us just rest at Jesus' feet and let us become one of his disciples, apprentices for life. After all, this is the one thing that is needed, the one thing that will never be taken away from us. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And all God's people say, Amen.